Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This presentation consists of a report about the state of the Shias of Medina. You will also find a map of the main Imambargah in Medina called the Sheikh Amiri's Mosque. Sheikh Amiri's Mosque is the center of all Shia activities in Medina, and I would highly encourage you to visit it. It is a wonderful experience, especially after you see the Wahhabi propaganda that is going on in Jannatul Baqi and within Masjid al-Haram as well. You will start earning for the names of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And once you reach this mosque, you will inshallah see that the Shias of Medina, despite severe persecution by the Wahhabi authorities, are gallantly trying their best to keep the names of the Ahl al-Bayt alive and their zikr alive even in that part of the world. So in this presentation you will find pictures of the mosque, which were taken in November of 2010, and you will also find a map of how to get to the mosque towards the end of the presentation, and I've also described the directions. So the main person behind the activities of Shias in Medina is somebody called Sheikh Amiri. Sheikh Amiri, in November of 2010, was about 108 years old. He is a great scholar and is also considered an arif. He has spent most of his 108 years in jails and has been tortured severely by the Wahhabis and the Saudi government for his activities, and many things have been offered to him for renouncing his religion, which of course he refused to do. And he and his son, you will probably be able to meet his son, the Maulana that you see, the Alimuddin that you see with the Amama in the pictures in this presentation, is the son of Sheikh Amiri. So one of the things you will find is that these people have given, and especially Sheikh Amiri has given a lot to keep the center, to get the center for the Shias in Medina, and it is the center of activities. You'll see a lot of Iranis, Lebanese, as well as local Shias coming there. There is a wonderful dastarkhan of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, as well as the dates that you can get from the waqf of Imam Hassan alayhi salam there. Before I go on further, I'll maybe start with just one of the incidents of Sheikh Amiri. Sheikh Amiri was arrested many times during his life, and in one of the recent arrests some years ago, he was dropped in Rabiul Khali. Now, Rabiul Khali is this treacherous desert near the border of Saudi Arabia and Yemen, and it is extremely severe environment, harsh environment, very hard to survive even with all the amenities. He was dropped there by a helicopter onto the desert, and it was expected that he would die very, very quickly. However, in a few days he appeared back at the mosque, which was a source of great shock for both his followers and also his enemies. And when he was pushed very hard to tell how he made it by himself, from how did he stay alive in Rabiul Khali without any food and water, and how did he made it back to the mosque in Medina, he finally replied that he did tawassul with the Imam of our time, Imam Zamana Akhir Zaman alayhi salam, and it was through his help that he was able to survive and get back to this mosque. Just to give you an example about the persecution, one of the things you'll see here is that there's a lot of broken shops within the mosque. One of the things they had tried to do, as you know, that the Shias in Medina do not get access to any government jobs and are discouraged even from private jobs, and it's very hard for them to survive in that environment. They had built a number of shops within the mosque, so the mosque was supported both by sort of donations from the Shias visiting it, as well as the date gardens that are part of the land of the mosque, as well as the shops that were running there and was providing a lot of support for the Shias locally. However, Recently the Wahhabis came in and they basically banned all economic activity in the mosque. By law, they're not allowed to sell anything now to anyone. And not only that, they broke all the shops and took all the raw materials and as well as the goods, which were, in general worth 40 to 50,000 riyals in each shop. And they confiscated that, all of those things as well. Nevertheless, because of the influence of some of the Shias in Dammam and some of the oil-producing region, and because of the respect that Sheikh Amriz enjoys, not only within the Shias of Medina, but also the Shias of Saudi Arabia and general Arab countries, as well as the Shias living in Iran and Iraq, there is sort of this tacit agreement where the government has allowed for them to operate sort of under the radar. So when you go to the mosque, you'll see that it's not marked. It's kind of closed. There's a door. You can pass from the door, and you won't know it's a mosque until you get inside there. And once you go inside, alhamdulillah, the first thing you see is "Assalamu alaikum, Fatimatu Zahra," which I can't explain to you once you are in Medina and once you're looking at the mazlumiyat of our imams. When you see their kubur in Baqi, when you see the graves of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam, Imam Muhammad Baqir alayhi salam, and Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, and you find yourself that you're unable to find the grave of Bibi Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam, and you feel that in 1400 years, not much has changed, unfortunately, in terms of the persecution and mazlumiyat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. But when you go to this particular mosque, when you reach Sheikh Amri's mosque, and you see "Assalamu alaikum, Fatima al-Zahra," and you go inside, and you see banners saying "Ya Qaim Ali Muhammad, Ya Imam Hassan al-Mushtaba, Ya Abul Fazl al-Abbas, Ya Hussein, Ya Ali, Ya Mahdi," you really feel connected with your past. You feel connected with your roots, because after all, Medina is where it where it all started in many ways, and where it has been sort of a bastion of Shia support, and also a place where the Shias have been persecuted for a very, very long time, and there doesn't seem to be any end in sight, unless more of us get committed to our religion and become more powerful, and inshallah, the Zuhur of our Imam occurs, and we are able to liberate Makkah and Medina to finally give relief to the generations who have lived here. One of the other things you will see in the mosque is there are a lot of people who come there, and especially. Try to see if you can, observe the Shias that are local to Medina, especially the ones that have lived there for, hundreds of years. It's just, from a just a historical standpoint also, it's a very interesting way to see how, for example, the setup they have for wudu in terms of the running hawz is something that, I really hadn't seen. I mean, I'd seen it in Qom, but it's not something that you generally see around. The way they have the Dasturkhan of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, something that we do in Pakistan and other places as well. You can see kind of the roots of that tradition, roots of that place. And this particular area has been a Shia area for last 1400 years from the time of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, some of the places in that area have been mentioned in some of the hadiths in terms of that this is the place where the Prophet was passing by when somebody came to him. And he describes, so the Shias have lived in this particular area for a very, very long time. You will also see that when you go to that area, inside of the mosque, that there are ulama coming from our Marja'in Karam's offices, as well as other places that are coming to visit, and in a way, I think show their support for the Sheikh Amri's mosque. One of the things I will mention is that if it is possible, you should try to donate to them as well. You will find that the Shias living in Saudi Arabia, especially in Medina, do not enjoy the wealth or the petrodollars, as well as the commercialization of Hajj done by the royal family and their followers. These people are kept deliberately very poor, and they're kept in a state which does not allow them to have any uprising of any sort, or any activity, or any power of any sort. Also, please be careful when you do go in there. Do follow their instructions. For example, if they say the mosque is closed, generally our experience was very good and we didn't find any issues. But sometimes if they ask you to, for example, sit somewhere or not get into a particular room, or for any reason, you will find that they do operate under a lot of scrutiny. Many times they are visited by the government agencies. Alhamdulillah, there are thousands of Zayreen visiting this mosque, so it's not that you're going there and you'll get into trouble, but just be cognizant of the environment and follow the instructions that they give you. One of the other things, in terms of how to get there, I think it is very important for Shias to go there for a number of reasons. One, just to connect with their roots and find out, especially observing the local Shias in terms of how the Shias of Medina live is a very interesting experience. But more importantly, for solidarity with the local Shias, I do think that when they see all these different Shias coming from other places, many of them do not have access to the outside world. And when they see, Shias coming from so many different countries, sort of, it is a form of brotherhood that exists between the the followers of Ahlul Bayt, about what we say, the bond of vilayat that we share with them, where we recite in Ziyarat Ashura, "Inni Silman Liman Salimakum." These are the people that are at peace with our Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. So, if nothing else, we provide them moral support by visiting them, and telling them and congratulating them on maintaining their roots and their identity under the severe persecution that they have been going through. In terms of how to get there, when you are coming from Masjid An-Nabawi, let's say if you are walking in a line where Masjid An-Nabawi comes first and then Jannat al-Baqi comes next, if you walk from Masjid An-Nabawi to Jannat al-Baqi, you'll see the gates of Jannat al-Baqi. Now imagine yourself standing in between the Jannat al-Baqi and Masjid An-Nabawi, with Masjid An-Nabawi at your back and Jannat al-Baqi at your front. This is where you should go right. So to go towards the right side of Jannat al-Baqi when you are facing it in this particular scenario, go to the right-hand side and then sort of take a left alongside of Jannat al-Baqi and continue walking alongside Jannat al-Baqi. It'll turn itself towards it goes through a bend. So just continue to follow sort of the wall of Jannat al-Baqi, and once you reach the main road, you have to cross the main road and go walk almost in the same direction that you were walking on the street across this main road that you are cutting. This particular street that you go to, it's also a main road. It's called Shara Ali bin Abi Talib alayhi salam. Go straight on that Shara. This walk is about 25 to 30 minutes. So continue walking till you'll see a hospital called Mustashfi Al-Zahra. When you see Mustashfi Al-Zahra, the sort of the last street that goes on the left before Mustashfi Al-Zahra is where you should make a left, and then it's kind of like, after a walk for 3 4 minutes, you will hopefully recognize from the pictures here, the door that appears on the left-hand side. Also, in general, you cannot, for example, ask his Masjid An-Nabawi to, go to Sheikh Amri's mosque, or in general, you can't even ask a taxi driver to take you to the Shia mosque. What you can do, however, is if you don't want to walk for 30 40 minutes, what you can do is essentially take a taxi and ask them to go to Mustashfi Al-Zahra, which is a hospital. It's a public hospital, so there's no problem in going in there. Once you are there, then look at the map and you can see that you have to go diagonally across onto the street, continue walking there. That particular area is inhabited primarily by Shias, and you'll see Shias, not only Shias, but you'll also see, other, because again, it's a relatively poor area. You will see people who have come to work in Saudi Arabia also living there, and again, they don't have some of the prejudices that the Wahhabis have. So You can basically ask the children going walking there, or you could ask somebody that you see there about the Sheikh Amiri's mosque, and they will point you to it. And once you go inside, you know, it may not look as if there's any activity, but once you go inside, especially at the Salat time, you'll always find lots of people in there and lots of things happening. And then once you go in there, you can ask them about their programs. There are always programs at the Viladat, Shahadat, as well as the, you know, the dasturkhans and all other activities that are happening there. And during your stay in Medina, it would be great if you could, you know, keep in addition to Jannatul Baqi and Masjid An-Nabawi, if you could keep Sheikh Amri's mosque in your itinerary in terms of visiting them, not just once, but possibly even multiple times. They also have Dua Tawassul on Tuesdays. They do Dua, I think they do Dua Nudba on Fridays as well. And I know they do Dua Kumail on Thursdays. So inshallah, I hope that for those of you who have gone to Medina, may Allah give you the chance to visit that wonderful land again. And for those who haven't, may Allah give you an opportunity to visit Medina. And most importantly, may Allah give us the give us the fortitude to become committed to our religion, so that we can become committed to it, and inshallah become capable of the leadership of our Imam alayhi salam. And may Allah hasten the return of our Imam, so that the mazlumiyat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and their followers can end. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal farajahum.